Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wannabe Entrepreneur. Believe it or not, this is the second try that I'm recording this episode. The first time I did it with my phone, didn't work. It just didn't record everything. And now I'm here. The episode will be different because I never really plan down my episodes. Maybe it's a mistake. But yeah, definitely will be different. But yeah, how are you? It's been a while since we had a chat. It's been a while since I recorded one of these. Not because I don't like doing this. I don't know. I have been busy. But I guess that's not really an excuse. Because I've been always busy. Maybe there was just... I didn't feel that it was a priority, maybe. Life is all about priorities, right? When people say, I don't have time for this or that, that's not really true. It's just you are not prioritizing it. Life, a day has 24 hours. And in those 24 hours, you need to fit in everything that is important to you. And then it's all about defining what that is, what it's important. But yeah, I've been missing this. I've been missing talking with you and sharing a bit of my journey. But because it's been so long, I don't really know where to start. I don't remember what was the last time I talked to you and what I said. So I'll just start from the end instead of starting from the beginning and kind of going back and back and see if I remember things. But yeah, how have I been doing? Thank you for asking, by the way. It's been a mix of ups and downs. I guess this shouldn't surprise me because that's entrepreneurship. That's being an entrepreneur. It's ups and downs. But yeah, as I think I told you already, my main goal as an entrepreneur or my main goal with this entrepreneurial journey is to become a better entrepreneur. Like I want to be the very best, like Pokemon. I want to catch them all the startups. No, I really want to get better at this. And that's also one of the reasons why I keep going with my projects. It's not necessarily, the reason why I will quit a project, it's normally not related with the money it's making. Eventually it might be, but it's when I realize that there's nothing else I can learn from it or that I can learn more by doing something else. Maybe that's it. And what's going on now with PodSqueeze? I feel that I still can learn. I feel that I am in this unique position where I have a startup that is quite well established in our little podcasting area. And there's a lot of things that I can try. But at the same time, and this is a bit frustrating, is that when I look to everything that Joe and I are doing and the whole team is doing, I cannot find any flaw. I'm not saying like the best or whatever. No, it's really like we've been thinking about this so much that there's nothing else that I see. Yeah, that's obvious we should be doing that. So it's a bit frustrating when we don't see the results. And then there's this anxiety, of, okay, what else? What else should I be doing? And Joe and I, we have like different ways to tackle this challenge. João, normally he will kind of calm down. He says to himself, okay, there's nothing else we can do. There's no point on rushing and trying new things. So let's just chill. Let's chill and work and treat this as a normal kind of job, 9-to-5 job where I work, I don't do the maximum I can, but I'm just doing my tasks. And yeah, this is my company. This is my job. For me, it's different. For me, I look at this and if I don't see the results, if I don't see the growth, I'm the opposite. I have this anxiety and I'm like, no, we are going to fix this. And we need to work day and night to find the fucking solution. And it's like, you know, when you have this enigma and you need to fix it. And you're like working and working on it. And you're just satisfied. There's this itch that you cannot scratch. You can only scratch it when you fix the problem. Yeah, that's how I feel. That's basically how I feel. And therefore, there's a certain anxiety, and that makes me prioritize work over everything else. Yeah, that's basically it. I think, again, this is so therapeutical, speaking to the microphone, speaking to you, because I figure out a lot of interesting shit. But yeah, that's basically it. And there were times with PodSqueez, with my businesses, where I saw things growing. And I was able to relax a little bit. I was able to focus on other things. But unfortunately, those times are very rare. They're very finite, very short. Like this, like a month of amazing growth, and then bam, go back to the same problems. So let me just do a recap of the things we have done in the past months, and as well to share a little bit with you what works, what I believe it's working for us, even if it's not working like crazy. So a few real realizations we made that I think are really important and might help as well you with your business. So let's start with marketing, okay? With marketing, the strategy for me is very clear now. Shoot everywhere, find what works, and then try to scale it up to the maximum you can. That's basically it. And sometimes we shoot something and we hit it and we think, okay, that's great. Okay, this worked, and then you go back shooting everything else, and that's wrong. Like if that's something that is working, keep shooting there. Keep like squeezing the most out of that orange so that you can take the most. And for us, that has been Google SEO, right? Ranking when someone searches for whatever summarizer or podcast summarizer, we need to be there. We need to be in the top. And there's still a few keywords that we are not at the top. We are kind of far from it. So we started asking ourselves why. Like, why are we not in the top? Why are we not winning here, right? Because we have seen already great results from the other keywords that are in the top. Like, this is bringing, just for you to understand, to give you some numbers, maybe per week we get around, let's say, 200, 250 new accounts, registered accounts, not clients, accounts. And 150 of them or 130 of them come from Google. So it's a huge, huge chunk, right? So it's a no-brainer, right? But even though we knew this was working, I was focusing as well on like YouTube. Let's see if YouTube works. Let's see if other marketing channels work. And the reasoning behind that was that, okay, Google is working, keep focusing on that, but start already fishing for the next one, because Google one day will stop and then you already have the next one, which kind of makes sense, especially if you have a bigger team. But for us bootstrappers, we don't have a big team. So we asked ourselves, like, okay, how can we make SEO better? Like, what else can we do? And I hired someone. I hired our auditor that kind of, I spoke about him. He was the one that in November did an audit to us, and he helped us greatly to improve our SEO. And I said, no, we need this guy doing an audit every month. I know it's expensive, right? It's you are hiring someone, an expert, but it's crucial because this is the business, right? This is where everyone is coming from, the clients and everything. So that was one of the decisions, having this guy to basically every month we pay him and he will just do an audit and tell us, okay, now try this, now try that. We're still evaluating if it's worth it to do every month, but so far I'm happy. And at least I know that there's not, like, just for you to understand, like, when there was a problem with the website a few months ago and I had to switch from Netlify to Verso, there was one mistake we did with SEO that made our SEO start going down instead of going up. It's very slightly, but I was noticing, like, man, we are having less and less people coming to the website, and I couldn't realize why. And then I did this audited with him, with Stefan, and it was like, he looked at it, yeah, I can see that now you are redirecting everything to www, to the subdomain www, instead of just HTTPS PodSqueez. And that's a problem. Google doesn't like that. So just because you did that when you switch to Vercel, that is affecting your SEO. And it's crazy. It's crazy that such a small thing, it's actually like Google is not smart enough to realize, no, it's a fucking same domain, right? So, yeah, it's crazy how dumb Google is sometimes with this algorithm. So, yeah, it's crucial. If it wasn't for him, I would never actually get this, figured out. So now we have him. Another thing that he told me is like, backlinks. Like, backlinks is crucial. Backlinks is basically other websites, especially where it works best if the other websites have also big domain authority, if they are in your field, like other podcasting websites, if they link you, if they mention you in their website. This shows Google that you are an authority because people are mentioning you. People are sending traffic your way. So that's basically what we've been focusing on, getting these backlinks. And just doing that, it's so hard. I mean, it's not easy. And we've tried so many things. We've tried emailing people. We use Apollo to email companies that are similar to us, like batch emailing, like cold emailing, and tell them, hey, why don't you use our affiliate? Hey, we'll pay you for it. Hey, let's do a link exchange. Like, we've tried so many things. To be honest, nothing has yielded amazing results. There are a few ones that have that are better, but I think it really varies on your industry. So that's one. Then we went to this conference. In this conference, I was like, Joe and I were just meeting people and getting all these contacts. And now I'm reaching out to them and saying, hey, let's do a link exchange. Hey, let's do this. Hey. And that's kind of working. That's working really well, actually. We still didn't see any results. But yeah, also then going to all this, directories of AI tools where you can post your websites. Yeah, there's a lot you can do, and that's been our main focus. Then our content writer bio is just always writing content as well, and it's working. It's very slow. It's not crazy, but it's working. And so that has been our main focus. Now, even though that's working, I don't see the growth I was expecting to have, and that I would be satisfied with, that I would be happy to prioritize other things if I had this growth, would be 15% per month. Like 15, even 10% would be great. 10, 15% per month. The problem is that our growth is like 3%, 4%, 5% in a good month. And even with this SEO, even with all this work, we are not getting there. Like, we are not. And one other realization that we've made, something that John has been telling me for a while as well, but I ignored it a bit, I don't know, is that size matters. Yeah, the size of the market matters, but how to measure the size of the market, that's something that I've always thought to be so abstract. Like, how do you know how many people might use your product? I think here it doesn't really matter the size. The actual size, it just matters more or less. Hey, is it big? Is it small? You know, and in comparison as well with other markets. So, fortunately for podcasting, it's actually not that hard to investigate and to determine how big the podcasting market is, because everything is public. So I know that there are around 500,000 active podcasts. These are podcasters that, you know, publish an episode per month at least. So now you think, okay, great. Then your target market is 500,000, which is not a lot. It's really not a lot. If you compare with, for instance, how many YouTube channels there are millions of YouTube channels, right? Active YouTube channels. So it's really not a lot. Now, then the next question you should ask yourself is, how essential is your tool? Like, from those 500,000 people, how many would likely use your product? And here, you need to think again, like, how essential is your tool? So, for instance, as podcaster, what is the thing that you need the most that is essential? A microphone, right? Without microphones, you cannot be a podcaster. So if they are in a world with no competitors, and if you are selling microphones, you will sell at least 500,000 microphones, right? Because every podcaster needs that. Otherwise, they are not podcasters. Now, writing show notes is a different story. It's not essential. people can write show notes. They have been writing show notes before us, right? So they can write using their own words, right? Their own finger, their own pencil, whatever. They can do that. So this is where you see how essential your tool is. So in terms of strategy, there's two things you can do. Two important things. If you want to focus on PodSqueeze, grow PodSqueeze. First of all, we need to reach our market, or rather three things. The first one is the one that we're doing with Google, which is like from our market at the moment, let's try to reach as much as possible. Let's try to amplify our marketing efforts and reach as much as possible. Second is let's make our tool more essential. Let's go up the funnel or down the funnel. I never really understand where the funnel is, you know, whatever. Like for instance, one thing that we introduced to PodSqueeze is let's as well allow people to edit their sounds, because an editor is more essential than a show notes writer, right? So let's go up, so that way we can get more people. And then third, pivot. Find other markets. Find other people that might be willing to use your tool. So that's also been what we've been focusing on. With the editor now, we did a partnership with Alphonics, and we are trying to get there. Then we are with our clip maker, we are trying to get to the YouTube video and kind of video makers, video creators, I mean. And how can we measure this, you ask? Great question, by the way. You're on fire today. We can measure by just seeing if our market gets bigger. If we get more people coming to the website in general, if it's easier to get people into the website, that's basically it. That's our effort at the moment. That's what we're trying. Now, going back to what I was saying, how João and I are different in this regard, is that I'm always thinking about this. I'm always trying to figure this shit out, and I cannot really relax until I get this figured out. At the same time, it's kind of frustrating as well, because, and now we go back to the money side of things, every money you invest into the company as a bootstrapper is money that you're taking from your paycheck. Literally taking from your paycheck. Because every money you invest in the company is money that you made from your clients. And that's a big disadvantage in many cases, right? Because, for instance, now we're negotiating new prices for our transcribing service. And what they ask us is, okay, can you pay up front? Pay for a year up front, whatever, like 15K, 10, I don't know, 20K, pay it up front, and you'll get an amazing discount. The thing is, if we were a VC-backed company and we have raised a million, that would be easy. Oh, all right, 20K, bam, here, done. We wouldn't even notice in our bank account. Done. Like, it wouldn't affect our paychecks, right? Because our paychecks are still getting from this runway. It wouldn't affect the paychecks of the people that are working with us. No, right? And it would just be good for the company. We can reduce our prices and our spendings in the long term. As a bootstrap company, we don't have this money. It's as simple as that. We cannot afford to pay 20K upfront. We can, though, pay that every month. That's something we can do. We can tell them, hey, we are paying you every month because we are making this money, but we cannot afford to paying you this 20K upfront. So how do you negotiate this with them? Like, they need to trust you. That's basically this. They need to trust you. They need to say, okay, yeah, these guys are legit. They made a promise, and they'll most likely do it. We can also do a contract or something, but really, like, if we stop paying, what can they do? They can, like, sue us, but then we have no money. Right? So it's also a risk for them. It's much harder to negotiate. And it's the same for any kind of investment you do. Like, any kind of investment you do in the company, you know that your paycheck, in the end of the day, will be lower. And that would be fine. That would be fine if the company was making 30K MRR. Right? Or 50K MRR. That would be amazing, because then João and I would have a very decent, very good paycheck and still have a lot of money to reinvest in the company. Now, the thing is that now we are at 16K MRR, which is very little. It seems a lot, but believe me, with all the money that goes to the services we use, the employees we have, and then taxes we have to pay, it's really not a lot. Like, we are taking 2K after tax and so on, which for these days, living in Europe, it doesn't pay much. Let's be honest. I mean, obviously, I'm not complaining. Here in Portugal, minimal wage is $800, but it's still, it doesn't pay much. So, yeah. Now, other options that we have, something that we've been discussing, is to start something new. Start a new project. But then there's a few other follow-up questions, which are like, first of all, what do you do with PodSqueeze? Do you sell it? Do you try to automate it? But if you do automate it, then you are kind of accepting that will not grow. Because you are not, if I feel like that I need to spend so much time working on PodSqueeze, if I don't spend that time working on PodSqueeze, I'm accepting that it's not going to grow. I'm accepting that there are certain things that I won't have the bandwidth to work at, right? And I need to make that decision and say, okay, that's fine. Because in the end, the bigger picture is not to be rich with PodSqueeze or to grow with PodSqueeze. The bigger picture is to learn. And to learn, I cannot be connected to only one product. I need to have more products. So I guess the last question I need to ask myself is, is there still things that I can learn with PodSqueeze that I'm not learning? Or that if I stop working with PodSqueeze, I'll stop learning? Now, the thing is, one thing that I want to test for sure is, does size actually matter, right? Is what what we're doing with PodSqueeze right now? I think we've done so much. We have explored so many marketing channels. And sometimes I speak with other indie maker friends that have other products that are making so much more money than us. And then we start discussing like marketing techniques, and they seem very clueless. They're like, I don't know, it's word of mouth, you know? People kind of speak about us. I was like, how? Like, how is this happening? Our product is amazing. I mean, sure, my product is amazing. Everyone says that. No, there's probably something more. And again, it's the market size. I think that's the only explanation for me. Okay, they just have such a big market that only with word of mouth, only like we did when we first launched PodSqueeze, it was growing and we didn't do any Google, anything, right? So that's something I want to test, right? Maybe if we try something else, another product with a bigger market. Let's try exactly the same we're doing PodSqueeze, but in other product with a bigger market. Will that work? And if that works, I might conclude that, okay, then size matters. Then it's the market. Now, I think I can only do that with PodSqueeze, with the other products, because PodSqueeze is in the podcasting market. We can try to pivot a little bit, but if you pivot too much, it's just another product, right? Another idea was to kind of use PodSqueeze to help companies when they are in meetings to take notes. There are already a few tools doing that, but it's another product. Yeah, sure, there are a few similarities to PodSqueeze, but it's just a different new product, right? So when you pivot too much, suddenly you're just building something new. So now, what can I learn by just staying in PodSqueeze, right? What can I learn? To assume that, you know, to say that I can still learn something, I need to make two assumptions. One, either PodSqueeze will grow, and as PodSqueeze grows, other challenges will come, challenges that I can only learn with that size, with a company with that size. And therefore, I need PodSqueeze. I need PodSqueeze to grow, and then I can still learn that. Or there are things that we're not doing that eventually we'll realize we need to do, and this thing will teach me a new lesson. Either a new marketing source to realize, no, actually, YouTube is the thing, but we're just doing things wrong. Like whatever, what we were doing before was not working, but now I know, and now I can explore this. Or maybe it's the product side. I'll figure out. I realized from one day to the other, oh no, actually we're making this huge mistake with the product, and this is how you should develop a product. But the thing is, like, I don't how. Like, I've spent so many hours, John has spent so many hours thinking about this. We didn't come up with a solution. So what would make me believe that tomorrow I'll come up with another solution, with another brilliant idea of something that we should try that will change everything, that will keep me teaching new lessons? Yeah, I think the only thing that comes to my mind that might allow us to do this is information. I either, like, speak with someone, like a mentor, someone that can tell me, yeah, try this. You know, someone from the industry. Because I've talked with other indie makers, but again, as I told you, they don't really, they cannot help us because they are in a different market. If they are in a different market, they cannot really kind of take their learnings to our market because it's just different. So yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I think in the end, what the only thing I can do is to speak with people in our market and see. And it's a bit weird because at the same time, they are competitors, or some of them are competitors, some of them are not, where we can collaborate. But yeah, we need to figure out and learn with each other to see if there's something that I'm missing, something that they are doing and we are not. And maybe they can help us out. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. And the other option is, okay, what if we're doing everything close to not perfect, but where everything is fine, and it's just this, like, the product doesn't grow more. What now? What would you do? And then I guess it really depends. Like, if you have a coffee place, you know that a coffee place is bounded for, and it will never, there's a limit to how much it can make. Sure, every product has a limit, but it's a very small limit, right? Like, you have a coffee place, you can kind of make the calculations how many people can sit in your coffee place. And even if it was full every hour of the day, there's a maximum, there's a cap, right? Where you'll, if you want to make more money, you'll need to expand. You do franchising, open more coffee places, whatever. So a lot of people, they just have one coffee place and they are fine with it. That's their livelihoods. That's how they make money. They pay the bills. They are chill. It's very chill. But for some reason, I look at that and I guess Juan will be okay with that. They'll be like, yeah, it's fine. But I look at that and I feel like, no. Like, I think we can do more. You know, we can still reach for the stars. Now, why? Why do I want this? Why do I fucking want to reach for the stars? Why am I not happy with just a small coffee place and chill? Is this me because I'm living in a city and I have this, you know, high, fast-paced mentality and everyone around is like work, work, work. And if I was like more in a more chilled place, this wouldn't affect me, right? And I would be, okay, no, just chill out. Work is not the most important thing. Or is really me? Is this really my calling? Do I really believe that work is the most important thing? And in the end, and kind of as a way to finish this episode with a more philosophical, in a more philosophical line, I was born or raised as like kind of Christian, but these days I'm atheist. Like, I don't really believe in a religion or a god, whatever god. It was really hard to make this because, especially when you grow up learning about having a god and so on, it's hard to make the decision to not believe in any because it can feel a bit empty. So how do you justify your, you know, walk in this world? Like, what is your goal? What is your calling? Why are we here? And idea that came to my mind is about energy. Energy is my god. Energy is everywhere, right? Like, if you now go and look through your window, you'll see like the wind in the leaves, or like people moving, or the sun. Everything is energy. Everything is energy being used and reused and transformed. And I really believe that my role in the world, the role of everyone, is to getting the energy that was given us, right, by the universe, and transforming this energy and making something better and passing forward, pass that energy forward, right? And that can have many faces, right? One face can be with love, you know, with the people that you love, by caring for them, to making sure that they are loved, they feel good. Can be with work, right? By doing a SaaS that changes the life of people, right? And for us, for instance, making podcasting more available to make sure that people don't give up with their dreams of being a podcaster, because eventually they will, with their podcast, maybe change other people's lives. And you are, you know, creating this energy and transforming it and using it for good. And I think in the end, even long after you are gone, your energy is still walking this earth, you're walking this universe, right? They will not know it came from you. But it's so hard to imagine, like, how many lives have you impacted, right? Like, how many people with your energy, with your efforts, with your... And when I speak about energy, I'm not speaking about anything mystical. It's really like your movement, like your work. You have no idea, right? You have no idea, but you are. Every day, you are affecting the world. Every day you say hi to someone, you sell a coffee, you make a new line of code, whatever you do, you are affecting someone, and these people then will affect others, etc., 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 right? You cannot pinpoint to you, but you are doing something. So in the end, what I feel my calling is to kind of, yeah, bring as much good energy to the world as possible and bring as much change to the world as possible. And I think that's why I love entrepreneurship so much, because I feel that this is the way you can amplify this to the maximum, right? It's something that it didn't exist. PodSqueeze didn't exist until we created it. And that's so fucking beautiful. Because you are transforming the energy, creating something new, and this energy now is helping others, and it's kind of moving the world forward. Yeah. So I guess that's why I'm not happy with only one coffee shop. That's why I would be happier with three or four. Because in the end, it's all about affecting and helping as much people as possible. I don't know. I just want to finish this episode with this more philosophical line of thought. If you have any ideas on this, shoot me a message at WBE Tiago. It's my Twitter. The DMs are open, or you can just tweet at me, and I'll be sure to check it out and answer. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends, indie makers. Give me some love. Give me some motivation. Just shoot me a message and say, like, hey, Tiago, I liked it, or I hated that this episode. Like, do more this, or do more that, or speak about that. Just give me some signal. I think that will really would motivate me to come here more frequently and share more with you. But anyway, thank you very much. This was another Wannabe Entrepreneur. See you next time.